Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.26.9 verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Angustra Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining the call today and giving your valuable time and association this morning. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Can you all hear me, Mataji?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much. So we'll start with offering our prayers to Srila Prabhupada and then I'll take on the verse. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanandane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayate Girin Yat Kripa Tamam Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Paramananda Madhavam Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, Text 9. I'll read the shloka. Tatra nirbhinna gatranam chitra vajaye shilan mukhaye viplavo abhut dukkhitana dusaha karunatmana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shilpa. When King Puranjan was hunting in this way, many animals within the forest lost their lives with great pain, being pierced by the sharp arrowheads. Upon seeing this devastating, ghastly activities performed by the king, all the people who were merciful by nature became very unhappy. Such merciful people could not tolerate seeing all this killing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When demoniac person engage in animal killing, the demigods or the devotees of the Lord are very much afflicted by the demoniac by this killing. Demoniac civilization in this modern age maintains various types of slaughterhouses all over the world. Rascal swamis and yogis encourage foolish people to go on eating flesh and killing animals at the same time, continue their so-called meditation and mystical practices. All these affairs are ghastly and a compassionate person, namely the devotees of Lord, become very unhappy to see such a sight. The hunting process is also carried on in a different way, as we have already explained. Hunting women, drinking different types of liquor, becoming intoxicated, killing animal, and enjoying sex all serve as the basis of modern civilization. Vaishnavas are unhappy to see such a situation in the world, and therefore they are very busy spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. The devotees are pained to see the hunting and killing of animals in the forest, the wholesale slaughter of animals in the slaughterhouse, and the exploitation of young girls in the brothels that function under different names as clubs and societies. Being very much compassionate upon the killing of animal and sacrifice, the great sage Narada began his instruction to King Prachini Barishat. In this instruction, Narad Muni explained that devotees like him are very much afflicted by the killing that goes on in the human society. Not only a saintly person afflicted by this killing, but even God himself is afflicted, therefore comes down in the incarnation of Lord Buddha. Jayadev Goswami therefore sings, Sadaya Ridaya Darshita Pashu Ghatam. Simply to stop the killing of animals, Lord Buddha compassionately appeared. Some rascal put forward the theory that animals have no soul or is something like dead stone. In this way, they rationalize that there is no sin in animal killing. Actually, animals are not dead stones, but the killer of animals are stone-hearted. Consequently, no reason or philosophy appeals to them. They continue killing slaughterhouses. They continue keeping slaughterhouses and killing animals in the forest. The conclusion is that one who does not care for this instruction of saintly person like Narada and his disciplic succession surely fall in the category of Nashta Prakya and thus go to hell. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all devotees for this morning session of Srimad Bhagavatam class. Very grateful to all of you for allowing me to make a presentation on Srimad Bhagavatam. The Amala Puran, which the devotees relish, not only relish, but also they keep on preaching and sharing with each other. And this purport of Srila Prabhupada is also very encompassing. Any purport of Srila Prabhupada, if we take, Prabhupada always makes it a point that he gives a concise summary of all that he wants to say or for the purpose that he has come here. So if you read this purport, it basically deals with three things. First is Prabhupada is speaking about killing of animals. Then he speaks about how the saintly people are compassionate. And third is the saintly people always find a way for upliftment of these people who are into animal killing and all things that related to animal killing that Prabhupada has spoken about. There's animal killing, then there's brothel, there's wine and clubs and all these things that are going on under the name of modern civilization. So if we read Srimad Bhagavat 11th canto, 5th chapter, 11th shloka, so very famous shloka from 11th canto, which depicts the nature of the material world and what happens to a jiva when he comes down here in this material world. So the shloka says, Loke Vyavaya Amisha Madhya Seva. Loke means in this material world, three things are very prominent. What are those? They are saying Vyavaya. Vyavaya means sex indulgence. Amisha. Amisha is meat eating. And Madhya. Madhya is any kind of intoxication, not only liquor, but any kind of intoxication. Seva. Seva means sevan. That is, they take it. Nitya hi jantur nahi tatra chodanat. Then they are saying that this jantu means the living entity. Nitya, he is always fond of what these three things. He tatra chodana. Chodana is means he would like to do this, keeping aside the commands of the scriptures. But the scriptures have made a certain rules and regulations or some provision by which the end result has to be achieved. Even if somebody wants to do this, there is a procedure or there is a what we can say is they have made some rules and regulations by which these three things has to reach a certain end. What are they? Vyavasthitas teshu vivaha yagya suragrahe. So the first thing was vyavaya, to control the sex indulgence or the proclivity to have physical union. What have they given as a vyavastha? They have given is vivaha, that is the bond of married life. And to regulate the amisha is the meat eating propensity. What they have given is yagya. You do a proper yagya to a proper demigod under these regulations of the scriptures, and then you can have that meat. And in this way, you can regulate it. And what they have given for madhya, suragrahe. That is, there is also a kind of yagya by which when you offer that sura or that wine to a specific demigod, and then that becomes the prasad. And once it becomes prasad, then it doesn't cause the regular effect, rather it starts purifying. Just like in Gita also, Krishna says that the heavenly denizens who drink what we in our terms call as liquor, that purifies them. Soma putaha papa. It purifies them of their sins also. And also enhances their life, increases their strength. All these things happen when they drink. So these kind of results are not seen here when somebody drinks wine. So this propensity for these three things, that is Amisha, Madhya and Vyavaya, they are saying Sura Grahir Asu Nivritta Ishta. What is the Ishta that is to be achieved? Ishta means the desire end. What is the end point that one has to achieve by regulating all these three things, just like Vivaha, there is the regulation, then there is Yajna for meat, and then there is Suragrahe, the cup of wine that is to be offered and then it can be drunk. Nivritta Ishta. Nivritta means at the end of following all these rules and regulation and then going through the enjoyment that the living entity wants. The end point is Nivritti. He has to get detached from all these things. And if he's not achieving this, then certainly there is a problem. So that is why the end for all this is not that he keeps on going it in a limited manner. The end point is that the Shastras don't encourage these things. But if any person would have, he has a proclivity for this, then he has to regulate it. And ultimate purpose is that he has to renounce these habits. Now, any society is considered progressive. And what are the parameters for deciding it? The parameter is the level or the refined nature of the enjoyment there. And how they achieve this is through a certain procedure. Just like if you see the demigod society, it's a very refined society. They're eating, they're sleeping, and all those things that a society, people who live in the society need, they have a very refined regulation for performing all these things. Just like we see in the ninth canto, when Urvashi comes down from the Swarga Loka to the Martya Loka here, and she gets married to King Pururava, she keeps two conditions. First condition is that I will eat food that is cooked only in ghee, no oil and nothing else. Dalda is out of question. So she's saying, I'll eat only that is made in ghee. And second thing is, you will never come before me undressed. So dressing sense also is so refined there in the Swarga Loka. And there is no question of somebody coming in their least clothing. So these are the two parameters that she puts before entering a relationship with Pururava. And unfortunately, he breaks this and she also leaves Pururava. So the human society also, we see that it is governed by laws, certain laws to upgrade a person in the level of his enjoyment. So he has been given a facility. Right now he may not be able to access, but if he goes through a certain procedure, he'll surely be able to access certain higher pleasures. But the animal society is the society which has absolute no laws. And that is why when a society doesn't follow rules and regulation, gradually it will become nothing but animalistic, where there will be no rules, no regulation, no botheration. Just like there was an article about Las Vegas. It is said that there are no rules in that place. People often, you often feel that it's very nice to have no rules and regulations. But this is a place which is said that there are no rules and regulations. And if you see the statistics of crime in this place, it is the highest. I guess America, it must be highest, but it is one of the highest places in the world. So it shows, or it is reflecting, that laws are absolute necessary to keep a person sane. When there are no laws, he becomes a superior or a best. He's become superior than an animal in his performance. Animals, at least they fight and then they give up after some time. But here, the worst part is that humans have a very refined intelligence and they use for nothing other than these four things of Ahar, Nidra, Bhay, Maitri. And that is why they become a superior version of animals. So rules are exclusively necessary in any society, and then it can gradually climb up in the ladder of achieving higher levels of pleasures. And that is how a society is defined, on the level of pleasure that it is able to access. Just like we are speaking of rules. So if we see in the first canto itself, when Lord Krishna enters Dwarika, who all come to welcome him? And definitely all the Dwarika Vasis come, then the all the queens, and they welcome the parents of Krishna. They come, Ugrasen Maharaj, he comes, so many other all senior people, they come and welcome Krishna. But along with all this, the prostitute also, they come to welcome Krishna. There's a whole shloka on how the prostitutes, they are so nicely dressed and what are their ornaments and how gorgeous they are looking, and they have their chariots and they are very beautifully decorated and they are moving towards the gate where Krishna has just arrived. Now the question is, how come there are prostitutes in Dwarika? So the point is not the prostitution, the point is the need of prostitution. Why? We are not in favor of that, because ultimately that proclivity in itself has to be given. We saw that the aim of limiting it is to give it up altogether over a period of time. So the point is that the facility is given by a society to those people who lack self-control, so that others who are following a progressive path can keep on progressive. They don't become contaminated because of the association of these people. So an ideal society is where all people, because it is for sure that not all will be pure. Some of them will always be impure. And that is why society has to create a facility so that others can happily continue on practicing their Krishna consciousness. Just like people say that if in Kali Yuga, it is for sure that there will be degradation and people will not follow rules, then why we are spending so much of time preaching? Prabhupada gives a very wonderful example in the first canto itself. Prabhupada is saying, just like when there is rainy season, and in rainy season, everybody knows that there is going to be rain. So when everybody knows that there is going to be rain, then what is the need of umbrella? Umbrellas are sold every rainy season. Why? Because there are people who would like to protect themselves, who are sane and who would like to protect themselves from the rain. That is why they purchase an umbrella and they keep themselves protected. Similarly, we know that according to the time, Satya, Dwapar, Treta, and now it is Kali. And in Kali Yuga, it is a time of degradation. So since we all have that knowledge, we would like to protect ourselves from the onslaughts of Kali, and hence we are chanting 24 hours. And when we chant, what will happen? We will get an access to superior kind of enjoyment. That is what we call as param drishtvani vartate. And we can easily give up all the lower proclivities by which we are caught hold in this cycle of birth and death. So even if we know that there is time of degradation, but there was a time in the society, just like if we see in the past, in Mahabharata, we have some cases, just like we have the case of Amba. Now Amba loved somebody else, but Bhishma Dev got all the three sisters for his brother. And when he got it for them, and then he later on, they came to know that Amba is already in love with some other man. And she says that, please allow me to go. And all the sages, they come together and say, if she has already given her heart to some other person, so why bother her? Let her go. And she is left free. But when she reaches that person, he says, I can't accept you because you have been touched by some other person. So that was the amount of purity that was, that every person tried to retain. Just like we say, 16,000 princesses held by Narkasur. Now they were royal princes, the most beautiful, the most exquisite, the most, they had the best of the characters, but no one married them. Why? Because on one level, on the bodily level, maybe not on the level of the mind, but on the level of the body, they were touched by some other person and the purity was lost. What to speak of bodily level? We see in the ninth canto itself again, Jamadagni Rishi rejecting Mata Renuka. Why? She didn't touch any person. But her mind, for some time, she allowed entrance to other person than her own husband. And that is where Jamadagni Rishi becomes infuriated, and then he tells Parshuramji to kill his own mother. So the whole point is the maintaining of the purity. And by that purity, we can access a superior kind of enjoyment. So the ultimate purpose of all these provisions that we have seen here is to give them up someday. There has to be nivritti from that. And then when there is nivritti and then purification, then there is access to the higher pleasures. So Prabhupada writes in his purport that purpose of married life is to avoid illicit relations. A person may like to have relationship, or a woman may like to have relationship with n number of men, and men would like to have with n number of women. But to keep that person or that woman sane in her behavior, then there is a provision that, okay, whatever kind of enjoyment you want to have, this is the person or this is the lady, and then you can continue and gradually get purified, and you can free yourself. So sometimes we see that these rules and regulations are good. But what happens is, most of the time, just avoiding these things doesn't help. So to correct the mind, some corrective steps have also to be taken, because ultimately mind is impure at this point of time. And that, to correct the mind, not only rules and regulations help, sometimes we have to punish that person also. So the Shastras recommend two things. There is Daya and there is Danda. There is compassion and there is compensation also. If you do something wrong, you have to compensate that person, or the person who have hurt, or thing for a thing, or life for a life. This kind of compensation are there. So compassion and compensation both are required to train the mind. Just like in Mahabharata, we have this story which comes. The two brothers, one is Shanku and one is Likhit. So what happens? One is the elder brother and one is the younger brother. So Shanku is elder and Likhit is younger. So one day what happens? Likhit, he comes to the ashram of his elder brother, and he finds to his amazement that his elder brother is not there in the ashram. So he says maybe he'll take some time, and he's wandering in his ashram, and in his ashram he sees that there are beautiful trees and flowers. And since he's there for quite some time now, he started feeling hungry. Now, since he's feeling hungry, he thinks that maybe I have to eat something and there is nothing around here. So let me pluck some fruits and then I'll keep myself free from this hunger. And he plucks some fruit and he starts eating. And while he's eating, his elder brother Shanku reaches there, and he sees his brother, a younger brother, eating fruits. So when he sees his brother eating fruits, he asks him, where did you get these fruits from? He says, I got this from your own ashram. So he said, did you ask somebody before eating? He said, no, it was your ashram. You're my elder brother, so I didn't ask anybody. So his elder brother, he says, okay, now what do you do? So you go to the king and you tell the king that my brother has told me that ask what is the punishment for somebody who steals in somebody else's property. And his brother is a bit amazed, but now since his elder brother has told him, he goes and he asks the king. So when the king hears the whole case, he says that it's such a petty offense. Since I am the king and I can judge based on my own strength, he says that I'll not give you punishment, I'll free you, because it's a very small offense. But this Likhit, he keeps on pushing the king, my brother has told me, ask and get whatever punishment the king gives. So he asks, what is the punishment for somebody stealing without asking? And the king says, the punishment is, now mind you, these are both Brahmana. They are not from any other caste. Neither Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. They are both Brahmana. And the king says, the punishment is, anyone who steals from somebody else's properties, his both hands are cut. So he says, okay, you cut both of the hands. And the king is feeling so bad. He is not ready. He is again and again pleading to the Brahmana that, please, I don't want to do this crime. I free you because it is in my hands whether I have to punish you or not. He says, no, my brother has told me to punish me. And the king has to do the needful. And now Likhit has no hands. He comes back to his brother. He's all in blood and in mess. And he's in painful situation. He comes back to his brother's ashram. And he says, this is what the king has done. He has given me punishment. He has cut both of my hands. Then his brother, elder brother, says, oh, okay, now it's good. Don't worry about all this. You go, and now it's time for Sandhya Vandan. You go on the bank of the river and you offer oblations to our forefathers. And Likhit is in all mess. He says, he's not in a good mindset. But since his elder brother has told him, he has to do it. So he goes to the bank of the river and he offers water to the demigods and the pitras and Lord Vishnu, and but he doesn't have any hand. What to do? But he says, since my brother has told me, I have to do. So he puts his hand in the water, and as soon as he puts his hand in the water, he regains both of his hands. So what an amazement for Likhi. He comes back to his brother and asks him. He's so happy. He says, brother, my hands have come back. So his elder brother tells him, yeah, I did it because I had some powers by which I helped you regain your both hands. So the question Likhi asks, so if at all you had to give it back, why did you cut it? And that is where Shanku says that the mindset which you carried while eating that fruit was that I can do as I like and I won't be held responsible. So that fact has to be grown in your mind that you are responsible in under all circumstances, if you are seen or if you are not seen. And that is why I allowed you to go through the whole procedure. And then when you went through the painful procedure, your mind has now become ready. And in future, it will make sure not to commit the same mistake again. His brother could have been merciful to him. So here in this case, his brother was indeed merciful because he allowed him to go through the painful experience. And his brother also allowed him to compensate for the entire thing. By allowing him to go through the painful process, and he was also compassionate by allowing him to regain his hands. So Shastra suggests both things, daya also and danda also. And when person goes through all this purificatory process, then he is able to reach a platform where he can have access to superior kind of enjoyment. That is why superiority of any society is based on the quality of enjoyment they are having. So just like we see animals, animals are nothing but into carnal pleasures. Carnal means flesh, related to flesh or related to some things. They're absolutely, they can't think, or they have unfortunately no access to any higher pleasure. Human society has access to both directions, upward and downwards. It can access higher pleasures, and it can access lower pleasures like the animals. Demigods have even higher or divine pleasures. So when somebody is a human and when he falls from the human platform, human level of enjoyment to animalistic level of enjoyment, then there are people in the society who will always be there who are keeping a watch on these people who have fallen into a trap of lowest kind of enjoyment, and they are always coming now and again to tell them that, sir, there is a better kind of enjoyment and you can have access to this if you do these things. Just like we see in case of Nal, Kuvar and Manigrib, Narad Muni saw that they are not humans, they are demigods, and they are nothing but they have become a bunch of animals. Because animals don't wear clothes, they were also not wearing clothes. They were drinking wine, animals don't drink wine. They were moving around without any restrictions and doing as they liked before anybody. It was not a place, it was a place of Ganga, the purest of all the rivers. And it was Kailas, the place of Lord Shiva. There they had been for studying, just like most of the people from all over the world come to US for higher studies. So it was the place of their higher studies. And instead of studying, they were into something else. When Narad Muni sees that these people could have had access to the superior kind of enjoyment because Lord Shiva was personally there. But what was the problem? Dhanat Atmajo, they were the sons of Kubera and mother. They were so proud and intoxication that they lost their touch, or they lost their access for higher pleasure, and they fell down to lower pleasures. And that is where Narad Muni becomes compassionate that, okay, even if I tell you to go through a procedure for higher level of accessment, you won't be able to access. So what you can access right now is repentance. So I transfer you into a species where you keep on repenting, and so much of repentance that the fire of that repentance destroys all your sins also and your negative proclivities also. And not only that proclivity, but when you are pure, you will have access to such to the highest level of enjoyment. And that is where they have a face to face, not only face to face, they are witness to the entire Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. Can you imagine? The highest, the Raso Vaisaha, the ocean of Rasa, they got direct access. Why? Because this one person who already had that access to the higher level of enjoyment allowed them mercifully to go through it and allowed the same kind of enjoyment to Nal Kuber and Manikrip. So somebody may ask, are the sadhus really necessary in the society? Why we call sadhu? Sadhu is a generic term. These are people who have access. They are enjoying life like anything. They have access to the highest level of enjoyment. So are these kind of people required in the society? Absolutely. There is a small story I read long time back. There was a man who was trying. He saw a necklace near a river. And he was trying hard to get that necklace. And he was trying by all means, but he couldn't reach that necklace. And there was one man who was passing by. And he sees this man struggling so badly. And he waits there. And after a while, this man sees this person standing behind him. And he says, and this person is standing behind him. And he says, can I help you? This person says, immediately what he speaks is, I will not share with you. You will have to give the whole thing to me. But then something struck him. He says, okay, we'll do 50-50. Half you take, half I'll take. And the person standing behind says, sir, I don't need anything, but I can help you. So he's amazed. You don't need anything? He says, no, I don't need anything. So he says, okay, fine, help me find this necklace. And he says, he takes the neck of this man and hard enough, he takes it and pushes it in the upward direction. And there on the tree is the original necklace that is hanging, and the reflection is seen in the water. And this man was all the time, all the while, trying to find that necklace in the reflection. So sadhus have access to the original necklace, the original enjoyment. And we all are struggling to find the shadowy enjoyment. Just like the shadow of that necklace was in the waters, we're trying to find the shadow material, shadow pleasures of this materialistic world. And when sadhus like Narad Muni come in our life, then they take the neck and it hard enough, because we have been so used to see down that it's hard for us to take it and see up. So it's so painful all the while. Sadhana bhakti is so painful, but once we get the access to the real necklace, then there is no more looking down. So the point is that these kind of, that is why Prabhupada is constantly speaking of preaching. We have to preach. We have to stop people from allowing them to indulge in all these lower activities. Why? Because Prabhupada is every now and then saying, I have the access, Baba. You just do what I'm saying and I'll give you the access to those divine pleasures which you'll never then look back into this materialistic pleasure. So then we have seen the three kinds of pleasure in this material world, which person feels very attracted: meat eating, intoxication, and illicit relation, man-woman relation. So, but when these kind of people, they come in our lives, they know the right way and the right place to get that enjoyment. And seeing ourselves so miserably trying to accumulate pleasures by getting so many things and trying to get it through this situation and that situation and this person and that person, they feel pity. Why do they feel pity? Because they are tasting something higher than what we are searching here. Now the point comes is that what is the problem with the lower pleasures? So the lower pleasures, the problem is that there is danger of degradation. Even if there is regulation, there is danger of degradation, and one can lose his discrimination in this so-called race of regulation and trying to control and subdue the senses. There is huge chance of degradation and discrimination being lost. Now you may ask for examples. Sure enough, we can give you one example from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a popular example. We all know this example of Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj was compassionate. Prabhupada speaking here about compassion, and he was indeed compassionate. He was compassionate on whom? On a deer. Now the deer initial sure was his compassion, real compassion. But he allowed, and indeed there is some pleasure in showing compassion to others also. And when he was already on a superior platform, on the platform above, where he had tears and he could see the Lord in his mind. And all the while he had hairs on his body were standing, and all the ecstatic symptoms he was going through, his experiences, different kind of pleasure. But when over a period of time, in the name of compassion, he tried to show compassion to the deer, what did it turn into was his higher level of pleasure was brought down. There was a degradation in the level of his pleasure. And the material pleasure that he had long back left, he returned back to it in no time. Why? Because he had lost his discrimination in the entire process. Compassion is not for one person. Compassion is a very broad term. Compassion is for all, under all situations. If we are showing compassion to one person, that in itself is indicative that we are already attached to that person. So it doesn't remain compassion, it becomes attachment. And that is what happened with Bharat Maharaj. He didn't understand that he came down to a platform that the Lord whom he was seeing, and while seeing the Lord, he had such ecstatic emotions that coming up. Now he's feeling, of course they won't be the same, but he's feeling the same kinds of emotion when he's seeing the deer. So he has come down in the level of his enjoyment also, and he has absolutely lost his discrimination. So compassion is a very broad term. It is for all. Prabhupada writes about this in Prayers of Queen Kunti. In the introduction itself, he is writing that a sadhu, he leaves one family. Why? Because he feels compassion for the entire world, and he leaves one family to join a big family. Why big family? Because he is feeling this is limited. I want unlimited access. And that is why he, to show compassion to all, he leaves his family and then start distributing the Krishna consciousness process. And that is what is the life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was happy alone in Vrindavan. But he left Vrindavan because he had access and he could give access. And how did he keep his access? We all know this, but we have to remind ourselves every now and then. Prabhupada was constantly praying to Krishna, please protect me from Maya. And that is how he could maintain his discrimination also, and he could avoid the danger of degradation also. Otherwise, the crowd which Prabhupada was handling was absolutely out of this world. They were not ordinary. They were extraordinary people of that time. And Prabhupada was handling them, not only handling them, Prabhupada made them follow four regulative principles. Prabhupada made them chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada made them give up all their bad things. And not only that, Prabhupada used their talents in preaching Krishna consciousness. And now they are such highly qualified devotees. Who are our Vartavan Acharyas? Who are all these people? They have been trained by Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada didn't degrade, and Prabhupada didn't lose his discrimination. Why? Because he was constantly in touch with the higher level of enjoyment. And that is why this discrimination has always to be maintained. There is one more story that comes up in Mahabharata itself. This is the story of our Drupad Raja. And Drupad, when he is been insulted by Dronacharya, he feels that I have to take revenge from him. And then he goes in the forest and performs tapasya. Then he sees a rishi whose name is Yaja. And then he asks the rishi that I want a son who can kill Dronacharya. Then Yaja says, sorry sir, I can't enter in this kind of ghastly activity because it deals with killing. It's a murder. And for one full year, Drupad is serving Yaj like a menial servant. Menial means exact menial servant. And after 1 year, he again requests Yaj, please do a yagya for me so that I can have a son who can kill Dronacharya. He says, sorry, I can't do it for you, but I can tell you a way out for this. He says, okay, tell me what. He says, I have a younger brother. His name is Upayaj. You go to him and he'll tell you the way and you get a son from that. But he says, sir, you are not doing, how will your younger brother do? So he says, don't worry, I know my brother will do. He says, how do you know that your brother? What assurance can you give? Then he quotes a time, event from the life of his younger brother, Upayaj. He says, once what happened, I and my brother were going and I stayed behind and my brother went ahead. And while he was in the forest, he felt hungry. And when he felt hungry, all of a sudden, what did Upayaj do? He saw fruit lying there and he ate that fruit. So Drupad didn't get the point. What has it to do with my yagya? He said, Yaj, the elder brother said, see, a person is known by the decision he takes for every small action. Upayaj didn't even see whether the fruit was eatable or not eatable, whether it was good or it was poisonous, whether somebody had eaten it or somebody had not eaten it, was it licked by any animal or whether it had just fallen from the tree. He had lost his discrimination. See, it may seem a very small thing that he is eating a fruit which is lying down. But what is it indicative? He has no discrimination. This is what Yaj says in regards to his younger brother. And since he has no discrimination of good and bad, when you tell him that I'll reward you handsomely, he'll surely do your yagya. And exactly the same thing happens. Yaj becomes ready. Why? Because that discrimination is not evolved. And that is why through this purificatory process, the discrimination also has to grow. And that is why Prabhupada is saying, those who want to advance must follow rules and regulation in eating, mating, sleeping. And Prabhupada is constantly meat. Since this animal killing is related to meat, Prabhupada is writing about eating. Prabhupada is saying eating, you have to regulate, you have to purify it. And then eat it as a mercy of the Lord. Remind again and again. Why? Because that is required for the purification, fast purification. So food has its effect. It is for sure. We heard one devotee was quoting. He was saying that he stays in Mumbai. And all of a sudden, he's staying in a very good house. And all of a sudden, his mind started pondering upon that he should have some other place, one more room, one more something like this, so that he can stay there. And he wasn't able to understand that I have such a good facility to stay, and why am I having one desire that is coming up regularly in my mind that I should have one place to stay. He couldn't figure it out. And then he called up his counselor. And then he spoke to the counselor. Somehow I'm not able to figure. There is repeatedly this thing is happening. Then the counselor told him, did he eat somewhere else? He said, no, I don't eat anywhere. So he said, does your wife cook for you? And then he told that, no, she goes for office. So we have hired a maid. So then ask the maid, his counselor told, ask the maid, what are the thoughts that are going on your mind these days? Just ask. And sure enough, he asked the maid that evening, how is your life? Everything is okay. She said, yes, everything is nice. And she was happy because he had given him bonus also. And she needed it for something. And she said, yes, sir. From long time, I had this. I was searching for a house. And I was in deep thought every now and then. And somehow Mem Sahib gave me that money and we are able to shift into a new house. And that is very clicked that why this thought of purchasing a new house is running in his mind. It was coming from the maid who was cooking for them. So she was constantly thinking, naya ghar chahiye, naya ghar lena hai, naya ghar lena hai. And that was all entering the food. So that is how subtle it is to eat food cooked by a devotee only. Otherwise, progress, Prabhupada is saying in this purport, the progress will be hindered, and that is sure enough. That is sure enough. Progress will be hindered. Now, Prabhupada is pointing to one more point here in this purport, that is compassion. Now, compassion also has its utility. Everything, we have to first understand that everything in this material world has its utility. Whether it is compassion, it has its utility, or whether it is killing, it has its utility. When to show compassion, how much to show compassion, when to kill and when not to kill. Nothing is good and nothing is bad in this world, because everything is utility based. Just like in case of Draupadi. You see, when Draupadi, when she was tortured in the Asat Sabha, what did she say at the end? She said, I will not tie my ears till all these people are punished. And sure enough, the war of Mahabharata took place. And after that, when it was time for the Rajeshri Yagya sacrifice, she washed her hairs and then she sat for the Yagya with Yudhishthira Maharaj. But then that same Draupadi, when her five sons are killed by Ashwatthama, first chapter itself, she said, I don't want to kill Ashwatthama. And there is a tug of war between five Pandavas and Draupadis. Means Bhima and Krishna on one side, Yudhishthir, Nakul, Sahadev, Draupadi, Kunti and other ladies of Hastinapur on one side, and Arjuna in between, because he has caught Ashwatthama. And Draupadi is saying, Arjun saying, see, I told you, I promised you, I'll bring him back in life. Do whatever you want. She says, leave him. And Bhima is angry. He says, how come you leave him? He has insulted. He has killed five sons. How you can leave him? And Krishna is in the whole event. He's pushing the event to its dead end. He's saying, yes, Arjun, you should kill. And there is a fight between these brothers. So the first canto says that Krishna had to manifest four hands. Two for starting, stopping this party, and two for stopping this party. Bhimsen on one side and others on one side. And that is where when Arjuna has to decide whether to show compassion to Ashwatthama or no. And that is where Arjuna prays to Krishna, and then Krishna gives him that intelligence that you have to hear what I say very nicely. Why is Draupadi saying no to kill Ashwatthama? Because Draupadi heard very nicely. Draupadi, when Krishna is catches hold of Ashwatthama, then Krishna gives six reasons to kill Ashwatthama. And one of the reasons, some of the reasons in that are Ashwatthama is Ashwatthama has killed five sons who are helpless, who had no weapons, who had no chariot, they were dependent, and so many characteristics. And Arjuna is feeling, yes, I have to kill him. But the same things have been heard by Draupadi. And when Draupadi hears it, she could exactly relate to what was there in mind of Krishna, because these same characteristics were also shown by Ashwatthama. He was helpless. He had no weapons. He had no chariot. He was surrendering to Arjuna. And one who's a Sharanagat, he cannot be killed. And when she understands the mind of Krishna, the first thought she says, I am not ready to kill Ashwatthama, leave him. And that is the time when Arjuna has to decide whether to show daya or to give danda. But in life, most of us, what we do is we either show too much of compassion, which is also deadly, and sometimes we over punish somebody, which is also deadly. But Arjuna handles the situations very maturely. What Arjuna does is he cuts off, he finds an intermediate way. He finds an intermediate way. He cuts off the hairs and he takes off the money and drives away Ashwatthama, which in itself was worse than death. So in life, daya and danda both have to be balanced. In family life also, corporate life also. Because we have to stay in an environment where people don't understand good things so easily. So that amount of punishment also has to be pushed in. Just because you are devotees doesn't mean that we have to be every now and then humble enough to eat the beatings. No, take on the beatings. No, it doesn't require. We have to be like Arjuna, find a midway. Just like I was traveling before this lockdown, I was coming from one place and we had this AC bus and we had the reclining seat. But what happens is when there is too much of sunlight, the sunlight enters and directly comes on your eyes. And I was sitting on the side when the sun was rising, so it was entering my eye. So I tried to close the curtain so that the sun rays don't fall on my eyes. What was happening was there was one more person ahead of me. So the curtain was very small. So there was a war between me and him that who will have the curtain on his side. And sometimes he was looking why he doesn't understand me. But what happened all of a sudden, my hand got, I pushed my hand somehow. It happened all of a sudden. I pushed my hand somewhere and the lever was pressed. And what happened was suddenly my seat went behind. And as my seat went behind, I could understand that the sun rays are no more coming on my face. What I had to do was I didn't have to fight with that person. I just had to pull down the lever and lower my seat so that the sun rays pass off. It was such a simple solution. He also, for the rest of the journey, he was also happy for the rest of the journey. I was also happy. I could chant, I could hear, I could read. So many things. But most of the time we waste because we cannot, because we have not trained ourselves to take proper decisions. And that is why these people who have this proper understanding are very important in life. So this daya and danda has to be dealt with very properly because it depends upon the people. Asat Sabha, all people were beyond, they had lost their composures in understanding. And Bhishma, if you say how about Bhishma, Bhishma had to pay a heavy price of the vow he had taken. He said, I will never be disloyal to any actions taken by the Kuru king. And who were ruling the Kuru kingdom that time? It was our Dhritarashtra and party. And that is why he couldn't speak. He wanted to speak, but he couldn't speak because he had taken that vow. And he had to face the consequences. He had to go through the danda also. And at the end of his life, Lord Krishna showed him the daya by coming before him. Lord punishes his devotee. There is no doubt that combination of daya and danda both has to be balanced, but it needs a lot of maturity. And that is why we have to understand, because there are people who will say that we are killing animals because it is dharma. It is written in the law books. Just like if we read Ramayana, in Ramayana itself, we will find that Bharat, to feed his army, he used to hunt animals and feed them the flesh of the lower animals. You would say, how about this? The Shastras. But if you read the entire thing, he had to go through the purificatory processes also. Just because you are the brother of Lord Ram doesn't mean, and the main point is, he never himself ate any kind of meat. So why he did this? Because it was a provision that had to be made for the people who are inclined to eating, but he had a proper procedure. He didn't open a slaughterhouse. They used to eat it only through a proper process and then it was fed. And yes, the king took that responsibility and he kept himself purified by so many other processes also. Now, somebody may ask, was there the real need of allowing them to eat meat? You wouldn't have taken those people in the army. The question is not that. The question is, these people didn't belong to the Kshatriya caste. They were from other classes. And since they are from other classes, this indicates they are in the lower moods. And one who is in the lower moods, his diet will be accordingly. And if you don't utilize his physical strength for establishing dharma, somebody else will use his physical strength to establish a dharma. So what is better, to use his strength for dharmic purpose and elevate him gradually, or use his strength and let him allow him to go even to lower heights? That is why decisions of all these things have to be taken by a proper person. Also, most of the time we'll see people quoting this Vyada Gita from Mahabharata. There is this one Brahmana boy, and he's doing his tapasya and he has left his home. He is in the forest and he's performing a lot of austerities, and there is one leaf that falls from the tree below which he is sitting, and he sees there are two birds, one is a crow and there is some other bird, and there is a fight between them, and hence the leaf fell and it broke his meditation, and he says very angrily to the bird, and the crow dies at the spot. And he says, wow, so what a great achievement. Then he goes for begging alms, and when he goes for begging alms, there is one lady who is serving her husband, and for a long time he has to wait, and he becomes angry, he chastises her, and she says, please don't shout because I am in service of my husband. Service to my husband is far more superior than serving you. And don't think that I am like that crow who will be burned to ashes by your power. And then he feels very amazed. Oh my God, how did this lady come to know that I have burned the crow to ashes? Then he asks her, how did you know? He says, by the strength of following my dharma properly, I have the strength to understand the mind of people. And that lady says, if you want to understand dharma, go to the butcher who is a vyadha, dharma vyadha. And he goes to the dharma vyadha, the butcher, and the butcher answers his question and he is satisfied. Who? The brahmana. The butcher is saying, I do my dharma properly and I serve my parents nicely, and by this I will achieve higher destination because this profession has come to me by my past karma. So I just do it as a profession. So the point here is, he does it as a profession. He doesn't eat it himself. Most of the time people forget this. He himself is not eating. All the butchers eat daily. He is not eating. He is doing just to sustain his family. So the story is not indicative that you should eat meat because they were eating. The Dharmavyad himself is not eating. Second point is, he is following his swadharma. And he's also taking care of his parents, and he's into a regulatory process. That shows that his purification is guaranteed, and that is how he can achieve. Not by eating meat, somebody can achieve that higher destination. No. Because there are so many other stories, just like there is this Maharashtrian, there is this Sant from India, his name is Sajjan Kasai. So Sajjan Kasai was a devout Vittal Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta. And he had to take this profession because nothing else he could do. He himself didn't kill animals. So somebody else used to cut, he used to get that flesh and used to sell. But for measurement, he had this Janardhan Shaligram Shila. And when one sadhu came to him, he saw that he is using this Shaligram to measure meat. He said, what are you doing? Give the Shaligram. He gave it. And that night, Lord Janardhan came in the dreams of the sadhu and told him, give it back to him. I can't stay with you because I'd like to hear the holy names of that Sajjan Kasai. And he gives it back to him. And he tells, why are you doing all this profession? You should go to Puri and search for the Lord. And then he says, yes, I will leave it immediately. He leaves everything. He gives up his profession. He goes to Puri. And on the way, what happens? He has to stay at a night at a place. And the lady of that place, she is not very pure in character. When her husband is sleeping, she comes to this Sajjan Kasai and she says, I want to have relation with you. And he says, no, I can't because my Lord will not like it. And I don't like all these activities. She feels that since her husband is at that place, he is not moving ahead in the relationship. What she does, she takes a sword and cuts off the head of her husband and brings that head to Sajjan Kasai and says, see, I cut the head of my husband. Don't worry. And still he doesn't agree. And then she feels that if this person goes out and tells the entire community about my character will be lost. So she starts yelling and the entire village is collected and she says that he tried to molest me. And they take him to the panchayat and the panchayat say, cut his hands. So both his hands are cut and they leave him. And then while he's going on the way to Puri, at night he has a dream where Lord Jagannath comes in his dreams and says, because in your past life you were a brahmana and there was a butcher who was trying to catch a cow and you held that cow. So that butcher became the husband, that cow became the lady. And you, that brahmana who held with your hands the cow, your hands had to be cut. So don't worry, you come to Puri. And as soon as he comes to Puri, the Lord has already told the Panda that my devotee is coming. and you welcome him. And as soon as he sees the chakra of Lord Jagannath, he moves his hand up. And as soon as his hands rise up in the air, he gets his hands back. So yes, somebody may have it as his occupation, but then that occupation also needs to have some element by which he can gradually give that up at the point where he is totally giving it up and totally entering into a higher level. So dharma, we know that dharma, just like in first canto, we see dharma is standing on four legs: daya, shaucha, satya, and tapa. Daya, why we follow this four regulative principles? No meat eating. Meat eating destroys which leg of dharma? Daya. Mercy to others. No illicit sex. Illicit relation destroys the shaucha or the cleanliness factor. No gambling. Why no gambling? Because gambling destroys the ability to speak truth. And intoxication destroys the ability of a person to perform tapasya. So even if you say you have to maintain dharma, but dharma in itself is weak, dharma itself has to be protected. That is why when Pandu Maharaj first called for Dharmaraj to establish dharma, after Dharmaraj, why was Vayudev called and why was Bhim given birth? Because Pandu Maharaj knew that dharma in itself is weak. It cannot protect itself. It has to be protected by someone, and that is why Bhim was called. But there is always a tussle between dharma, that this has to be done, this is right, and this. But where there is strength, the discrimination is lost. So that is why third person Arjuna has to be invoked, so that there is always balance between dharma and the strength that is required to protect the dharma. Otherwise, there will be clashes and dharma will be destroyed. That is why dharma has to be protected. We know. And the same incidents are protecting Ashwatthama. What is it indicating? Arjuna had to find a balance. One side is Yudhishthir Maharaj and other side is Bhim. And that is where he has to find that balance. And that is why even if somebody says that he has to do it for the dharma, but it should be gradually helping him move towards a higher platform. So this is some point that I could find in relationship to this shloka. Today also we have the Gundija Margin event, which is one of the famous events for us Gaudiya Vaishnav. And I don't know if you devotees would have ever a chance in washing the Gundija temple, but we were fortunate in 2005. We went with our Guru Maharaj, a lot of thousands of devotees together, washing and cleaning the Gundija temple. It is such an event and so joyful. For hours together, you can clean. And the entire event is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 12, where Lord Chaitanya decides that now, since the Rath Yatra and Lord Jagannath will be coming, and so when the place where Lord Jagannath will be staying, it has to be clean and there should be no dust. So Lord Chaitanya, padechi kahe ami sabha sevak tumar, ye tumar iccha se kartavya amar. So Lord Chaitanya goes to the servants of the king and requests him that, please, I have a request for all of you. We need permission to wash this Gundija temple. Please allow us the permission. See, he, even being the Supreme Lord, he himself is begging for permission. And who is Jagannath? He himself is Jagannath and still is requesting that permission. That etiquette is very important. So the best part of Vaishnav culture is the etiquette. And that Vaishnav etiquette, if we follow, it enhances the beauty of that sadhaka. When we are into practice of bhakti, Navavida bhakti, what is it indicating? We are allowing Bhakti Devi to make that shringar for us. And what is the shringar of a devotee? It is all the Vaishnava qualities. But for that, we have to be ready. We have to allow Bhakti Devi. And how will Bhakti Devi know that if we are allowing her to decorate us with the Vaishnava qualities? It says the sincere practice of devotional process. Any of the nine devotional process or all nine combined together, whatever. So here Lord Chaitanya is showing that Vaishnava etiquette, is asking, is requesting that Padechi guy. Pade is that panda, the superior, who is the superintendent. Vishesha Raja Agya Aicha Amar Prabhu Agya Yeise Shigra Karive. So he is saying that, yes, the Lord, my dear Lord, the king has already told us that whatever Lord Chaitanya tells us, immediately it has to be done. And then Lord Chaitanya requests that please get us so many brooms and so many pots and so many cloth, and so many devotees are coming, and hundreds of devotees are getting the pots, and others are just receiving the pots, and others are giving it to the other person, and he's washing the entire thing. There is water and there is dust, and the dust collected by Lord Chaitanya and the dust collected by all the other devotees, one person, Lord Chaitanya, collects such huge pile, and all devotees combined together also couldn't reach that height. And not only that, after the first cleaning is done, Lord Chaitanya goes for even subtler dust. What is Gundija Mandir? It is indicative of the heart of a sadhaka. And Rath Yatra, what is it indicative? We have to bring back the Lord of our heart back into our heart. Because now our heart is captured by what? So many anarthas. Just like we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita itself, in the Leela of Amog. When Amog is dying of cholera, what is Lord Chaitanya saying? Lord Chaitanya is saying, Amoga, you are a Brahmana. And the heart of the Brahmana is the seat of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. How could you allow this envy to sit there? The same thing, there are so many Amogas. We are envious to this devotee, we are envious to that devotee, we are envious to our neighbors. Envy is such a subtle. Nobody can deny that we are not envious. Envy is there. And whom is Bhagavatam meant for? Bhagavatam is for Nirmat Saranam Satam. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is PhD, it is above Bhagavatam. So how do we expect that we relish all these things? And there is so much of envy in the heart, malice in the heart. That is why this intense cleaning has to be done. And was Lord Chaitanya cleaning Gundija alone? No. He was cleaning it with so many devotees. So many devotees were assisting him. And what were they constantly chanting? They were constantly chanting nothing. If somebody had to get the pot, he was chanting Krishna, Krishna. If somebody had to give the pot, Krishna, Krishna. If somebody had to ask for the broom, Krishna, Krishna. Everything was Krishna, 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 nothing else. And in the entire event, who got the maximum mercy? It was Dukhi. Because she was happy serving. She didn't want any recognition that the devotee should recognize me. Oh, what lecture you do and what katha you do and what kirtan you do and what deity dressing you do. All foolish. She was least known. But Lord was not able to understand how come all these pots are coming so fast. Who is filling them up? Then somebody told that there is one servant of Srivas Thakur. Her name is Dukhi, and she is filling the pots and giving it to the devotees. Lord says her name is not Dukhi. From today she is Sukhi. So if we want to become Sukhi, what we have to do? We have to understand that our role in Krishna Leela, just like yesterday, today, here in India, we are celebrating disappearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one book called like Jaiva Dharma. If you read Jaiva Dharma, in the second section of Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear how the jiva enters the spiritual world. What qualities are required to enter the spiritual world? What change of mindset is required to enter the spiritual world? How he interacts in the Leela? What qualities are required in his interaction? What mood he has to set? What role he plays? What a siddha who goes from this material world back to the spiritual world. How do a very simple example. Just like I remember in the morning also, I gave this example. This is an old movie during my college days, I had seen this. So there is this, in this movie, there is a scene where the heroine is going with her friends, girlfriends, and they're in the car and so many of all of them are there. And what happens, the heroine is sitting in the front seat, but she's not driving. Her friend is driving. And they're talking and there's so many things are happening. And all of a sudden, what happens, this girlfriend of the heroine, she can't keep the balance and she hits the car to somebody, some other car in the front. And this big bash, and all of a sudden the car, they slam the brakes, and there is a lot of sound, and all the girls and the girlfriends are, they're afraid what is going to happen now. And the person whose car is hit, he gets down. And who is that? Of course, he's the hero. He comes down, and then he goes to the driver and bangs the steering. How dare you touch my car, and this and that. I've got a new car. Now you'll have to pay me for that. And it's quite a big damage that has taken place. And all the girls are counting their money, and nobody else. So we will pay you later. And when for the first time, the hero and the heroine, they see each other, and there are so many emotions that are taking place. And now what happens is, there is a fight between the hero and the heroine. But the center point is this girl who had banged. So the hero says, you give me back my money or the damage that you have done. So the heroine says, we don't have money. We'll give you later. Then this hero says, no, what you do is you keep your beautiful, this girlfriend with me. He says, we can't keep you. This is not good. This is bad. And there is a tug of war. And there is so much of churning of emotion between the hero and the heroine. But where did the event start? It was started by this so-called side actor. And both the hero and the heroine, there is tug of war. Who will keep the girlfriend? Whether the hero will keep her with him or the heroine will keep her with him. And they both are fighting, and they are trying to show their love and affection for this girlfriend. And this girlfriend is also enjoying more than this hero and heroine, because the entire scene has now stuck up on her. But in the entire scene, the hero and heroine, their emotions are reaching newer and newer height. So similarly, just like the side actor became an instrument for the nourishment of the emotions of the hero and heroine, in the spiritual world, there is one hero, that is Shri Krishna, and there is one heroine, that is Srimati Radharani. And all the Nitya Siddhas who reach there, their role is to enhance their pleasure. Just like here, the hero and heroine, their pleasure were enhanced by this girl. Similarly, we all there enhance their pleasure. So somebody may ask, what do we get in all this? Just like that side actor, both parties were trying to claim their proprietorship, and both were trying to give so much of love and affection so that she comes there. So the entire game there, that's a world of love. So the remuneration that we will get is the love of Radha and love of Krishna. So we get so much of love and affection in the entire event that we enjoy more than the hero and the heroine. So that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear. So we have to reach that stage where we forget ourselves, and the entire focus shifts on the hero in giving pleasure to the hero and the heroine. And that is nothing but Golok Vrindavan, where the hero is Krishna and heroine is Radharani. And we, as their servants, servant is for namesake. Believe me, servant is for namesake. It's just we have to understand, because Dasya Ras is even in Radharani. Dasya Ras is even in Krishna. Without Dasya Ras, nothing can stand on. Without the attitude of servitude, neither Krishna can function, neither the Jiva can function. So Dasya is for namesake. On the building of Dasya, all the four rasas, they gradually start giving up their flavors. But Dasya has to be there, because Dasya is there in Krishna. Without Krishna, how can the Dasya come in the Jiva? So this is what we have been offered by our parampara. So we have to be exclusively grateful to what we have got. I was reading the biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and in the last section, there is the glossary that is given and the books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. If you read the list of the books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, he has written some more than 100 books. And what they have done is, not all books have been covered, but major books have been covered. And they have written the name of the book and what is given in the book. They have written in 3-4 lines, and some basic summary is given. So it took me more than 1.5 hours to just complete that section. And when I just went through that section, this is flabbergasting. The kind of knowledge that he had. The beauty of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book is it is very concise. He has written Srimad Bhagavat in 108 shlokas. Entire 12 cantos in 108 shlokas. Entire Chaitanya Charitamrita in 104 shlokas. He has written all books so concise, the entire gist is given. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Shikshashtak in one shloka, entire 8 shloka, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in one shloka. Can you imagine the amount of knowledge and the depth he had? Bhakta Siddhanta Thakur used to say, even if all the books of this world are lost and if the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur remain, nothing is lost because everything is there in this book. And if you just read that index, I assure you, you'll be so proud of this parampara and the acharyas that what we have got is the best. There is nothing better than this in the entire creation. So on this auspicious day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Kadadhara Pandit, they have to be exclusively grateful for their contribution in our sadhana bhakti, because it is their gift that we are relishing this holy name and this freedom we are experiencing from the anarthas. For me, that is sufficient. For me, that is Goluk Vrindavan right now. The freedom from anarthas. It's such a peace. I don't know, love, and but this is real for me. So I can appreciate this freedom from anarthas. I am not saying that I am free from all the anarthas for all time. But whatever relaxation time Krishna allows me in my sadhana from freedom from this anarthas by keeping me engaged properly in the seva, I am too grateful for all this. The holy name, this acharyas have given. Nothing but grateful. So let us all be grateful to this acharyas and their contribution. Thank you all very much. Thank you for tolerating me and my broken words. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. Prabhu, I think I missed the part. What made Draupadi's heart or mind change from revenge to compassion? So I missed that part. Would you please elaborate, Prabhu? Thank you.
Yeah, for Draupadi, when she was being disrobed, it was more because she was the queen of the kingdom. She was the queen. And she has to think also from the vision of a queen. If the queen herself is taken at task, if she is not secure, can the entire kingdom be secure? Never. So her thought while punishing Duryodhan was, if the queen is not secure, if I am not taken care of properly, if I am not treated properly, if I am not looked after at properly, how do I expect the entire kingdom, which considers me as mother? Will my dependents be happy if we allow this Hastinapur to be ruled by Duryodhana party? No. So two things. Why Krishna addresses Arjuna as Kaunteya, Kaunteya again in Gita? Because that was the time when Arjuna had kept his Gandiv. And by Kaunteya, he was trying to hint Arjuna that you are the son of Kunti. And when this decision was taken that war is now inevitable, Krishna tried his best. Arjuna at that time was in Dwarika. And there from Hastinapur, Krishna, he goes and meets Mata Kunti and he asks her, do you have any message for your children? She said, tell Arjuna that if you are the son of a real Kshatriya, you have to fight this war. Because Kunti had two reasons that this war should take place now. First was that, of course, her daughter-in-law was not treated properly. And second was when Krishna, her worshipable lord, was not dealt properly. So that is the time. Till then also, Kunti was forgiving. But these two events changed the entire course of the war. And she writes to Arjuna. There is a letter that she has given and it's there in Mahabharata. And she quotes one Kshatrani. Her son comes back in between the war, defeated. And that Kshatrani says, a Kshatrani doesn't give birth to a child to see these days. It is better for a Kshatrani to kill her child in the womb if he returns defeated back rather than dying on the battlefield. So this is the message that Kunti gives. So the entire mindset of forgive was available till the time these two events. Because if the queen and the king is taken at task, then there is no question of security for the praja. But in case of Ashwatthama, Draupadi's own five sons were killed. There was no harm that was done to the praja. So that is why she said, okay, for my sake, I'll tolerate, no problem. But for sake of Krishna and sake of Praja, there is no question of toleration. War is inevitable. And she leaves her hair and she says, these people have to die. And then Krishna says, okay, I promise you that just like you have kept your hairs open, all those Kurus who supported Duryodhan, their wives will also have to keep their hair open. So that became the deciding factor. Myself versus care for others. When it comes to me, I have to show compassion. That is why in last chapter of first canto, Kshipta hata api na chasya prati kurvanti tad bhakta prabhau api. Who is a devotee? He will tolerate himself being insulted, himself being killed, himself being cheated, himself being exploited. He will tolerate everything because he is reluctant. He says, forget all this. Anyway, this body is going to die someday. I better chant Hare Krishna and whatever happens, it happens. This is what Shamik Rishi is thinking about Parikshit Maharaj, because Shamik Rishi wanted Parikshit Maharaj to curse his son Sringi. Because by cursing, what will happen? There will be some reaction for his son. And through going through that reaction, his son will be freed from that reaction of hurting such a great king. But he knew the mindset of a devotee. He said, devotee means Shabhi Hatva. Hatva means killing. He even doesn't bother about killing him once somebody kills him. But when it comes to somebody else, then devotees become more dangerous than others also.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Nice pastime.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, I have a question. Nowadays, I see a lot of youth, they are thinking that without any rules and regulations, they have to live freely. If you tell them to change any habits of them, they feel like, oh God, they are telling again. Why don't I leave alone? Why should we follow all this? We are happy now. So I see a lot of this kind of attitude, Prabhuji. So how to convince them or how to preach them, like going into a good path, how we fortunately we came into Krishna consciousness. So we see those people are just wasting time. So we feel very bad sometimes. I don't know how to put this, but how to preach them, Prabhuji, like how to start with them at least with this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mataji. The question is, there are people who have this mindset that rules are not required.
Yeah.
And how we should preach them that the rules are always helpful. This is the question.
Yes.
Is
yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you.
Actually, Prabhupada always, in most of his purport, Prabhupada is speaking about training. So this aspect of training is very crucial. And there is always a time when training is easy for any individual. And that time is between 5 years of age to 15 years of age. That is the time when training is imparted. And after that, naturally, since his intelligence starts developing, he will start deciding or taking decisions for a particular event that is happening in the individual's life based on this 15 years of experience he has had, or the 15 years of learning that he has had. And after 15 years, it is a natural tendency in any living entity that he will not listen directly. After that age, he has to be taken into consideration, and more the age, more the time he will require to assimilate it. If you see a junior college student, it is still easier to help him understand than a person who is working. Why? Because through the whole years that he has gone through, he has had different experiences and he has learned from it. But the person who can take proper decisions in his life is the person who has been trained properly in the first 15 years. It is very easy for them that if you tell him that rules and regulations are important, he'll accept it because he has had an experience of following rules and regulations in his life. But most of the kids or most of the youth today, their parents are themselves unaware of rules and benefits of rules and regulations. And they haven't taught it. So when they come to college, it becomes very difficult for us to preach them. So the easiest way to preach them is we have to understand the level of rigidity that they are having right now. If he's too rigid, means if he has had a long experience of some bad habits and he's into it, then it will be very difficult to tell him to chant Hare Krishna also, because now his mind has become that stiff. He will not hear. So the easiest way is what he can do right now. Just like in case of Brigari, Narad Muni saw that, or you take Valmiki Rishi. Valmiki Rishi, Narad Muni saw that he cannot chant Ram. So what can he chant? He can chant Mara because he was doing the same activity. So he saw his limit and from that limit he started. So his devotional service started. That is why he took such a long time to recover, isn't it? But somebody who has had a good past, he will recover very quickly. So depending upon the rigidity which is caused by his experiences in past life, we have to take that decision. Because nobody is directly going to chant Hare Krishna because the effect of chanting Hare Krishna is not very immediate. It is a gradual process. That is what we can say is the maybe drawback or whatever you say. But it is a gradual process. So what is fast acting? Fast acting, then holy name is Mahaprasad. So they can appreciate good food. Keep feeding them Mahaprasad as much as possible every now and then when they come for program. Especially the prasad which is cooked by devotee and is offered to the deities with a pure heart and pure intent with a prayerful mood that allow this person to become your devotee. And as the more you keep feeding him Mahaprasad, the more frequently he starts coming in. Within 6 months, 8 months, we have seen people giving up non-veg and all bad habits. And gradually they'll keep asking you what's new and what to do and how to start chanting. Then you can start with one round and then one round becomes a daily affair. And then then there is big festival. And why don't you increase the round? And this is the entire process. So we have to start from where he can accept the process. Because we also have to take into consideration the level of rigidity that has been already existing in him. Or if you don't take that, then it will be, he will feel that these people can't understand me. So he has to be understood and he has to be accepted as he is. But still, keeping ourselves pure, we have to give him some form of Krishna. And only Krishna can purify the heart of any living entity. So this is what I feel we can do.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And Prabhuji, I have a follow-up question for that. Like, suppose even the parents, so it's we raise our children very nicely as a typical Indian. So, but even then, the kids will develop or get into some habits and they have their own personalities. So is that also related to the parenting or Prabhuji, or like will they have any past karmas or based on that they'll develop all these habits and mindsets, and they have their own philosophies, like we have to do this, we don't have to do that, why we should do this, like they have their own personalities. So even though we do very nice upbringing until 15 or until 20 years of age, after that, we see some completely changed person. So so is it based on the parenting or like past karma or how it will be, Prabhuji?
Actually, this is a very broad question.
Yeah, just parenting, a general idea. You have seen maybe in your preaching, you have seen a lot of kids like this.
What I'll give my understanding, you take as per what you feel is more you can adopt from it. See, bringing up a child is like ordering a specific dish, right? when you enter a hotel, you have a menu card. And when you have a menu card, the menu will say masala dosa, sada dosa, cut dosa, Chinese dosa, cheese dosa. So this is all that you get. So what is expected from you is you put an order. If you are sitting in a hotel for a long time, not ordering anything, but just sitting with an expectation that something will come on your table. And if somebody brings up a random dish from the list of the menu and puts it on your table, and when you start eating it, you realize that this is not the menu that I wanted. So what happens? So same thing happens with parenting. What kind of child a couple wants, they have to decide before the child enters the womb. The child is first born in the mind of the parents. You can have, there is a lot of scope. Most of the couples, they don't have this knowledge that you can have a tailor-made child. Yes, you can have a tailor-made. What is Draupadi? He said, I want a daughter who is suitable for Arjuna. And there is a yagya and Draupadi comes out. I want a son who will kill Dronacharya. And there is Drupad Raja is getting a son, Drishtadumna. He has a tailor-made process. Similarly, when a couple unites, before that union, they have to have a particular idea that this is the child I want. And when we are seeing that our children are not as per what we expected, means there was some mismanagement that has happened in the previous game. Now, when that child has entered the womb, then because when the child has entered the womb, he is already coming with this karma. Most of the people are not aware of this fact. Just like Dhruva had already entered his mother's womb with his past desire, because in his past life, he was a Brahmana, he was a Rajpurohit, and he was serving the king very closely since he was a Rajpurohit. So he had that strong desire that I should have an opulence like this king. And he died with that desire. So the nature, what did they do? They took him from a Brahmana family and they put him in a Kshatriya family, because that is where his desire was going to get fulfilled. So the child comes with his previous karma and also comes with his previous unfulfilled desires. So even after your proper bringing, if the child is not becoming a devotee, that means surely you are right. But the child has certain karma which is not allowing him to become a devotee. He has certain strong desires, some kama karma beach that are lying from his past life. And just as in when they get a proper environment, immediately those seeds will start growing and they'll grow into a flourishing tree. So this is indicative that he has a very strong background of his past kama karma. And as soon as he goes in the college or he enters that environment, all these seeds, it is exactly like Ajamila. Ajamila also had a past history. So that past history, that leftover desires, he had a curse from some lady that you will fall to me or something. He has a past history. And then that same thing that was in his mind, as soon as he saw the Shudra lady, that entire thing sprang up. And we see Ajamil, even after such a good birth and training, he lost his track. But what came to his rescue was the first 20 years of devotional service that his father forcefully made him. So at least we can make sure that what future has for our kids, we don't know. But at least to the time we have at hand where we can do something for the kids, we should keep on giving them Krishna consciousness, even if they get diverted like Ajamil or somebody else. That devotional service, asset of devotional service, will make sure that he'll come back. So we have to make a scope for their return also. You can't force a child. He is not your child. The parents have to take the role of caretaker. Just like in babysitting, we keep our child and evening parents come and take him back. So if the caretaker, the babysitting, that lady says that this is my child, will it be right or wrong? It will be wrong. because it is somebody else's child and she is holding it, taking care, and she's paid for that. Similarly, the nature pays parents for keeping the child and training him. If they take care of the child properly, according to Dharma, they'll get higher destination also. If the child becomes devotee and parents are not devotee, they're just good people, still they'll be elevated to some higher planets. So parents must first come in the mood of caretaker. We can't force kids to do something because that age limit is only 15. Above 15, 16, Maitravat, Shodashe Varshe. You have the daughter will keep hand on mother's shoulder and son will keep hand on father's shoulder. You have to keep that space also ready for the kids after 16 years of age. So it is part of training. So this is a broad issue. That is what I've told. But we have to deal as in what is demanding in the situation.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nicely explained. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, anybody has any questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class and
Hare Krishna.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice explanation, Prabhuji. I wanted to ask the same question, but Mataji already asked. So it's very nice.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
It is all because of you, Mataji, we are able to have this service.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. All the answers, the class, everything was very, very wonderful, especially the answers. Really enjoyed all the answers. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
So if there are any questions or comments, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Such a beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. And especially I like the point that you are talking about how much to give the love and how much to give, except what I'm not getting that you are telling. And then you are explaining about the window example, right? It was so nice, Prabhu. It, these days in this Kali Yuga, we need to be very intelligent. We should not be so too compassionate also. People will take advantage of it. It was very nice explanation, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
We need to end the call now.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much.
So, if there are no more questions or comments, I think we can end the call here. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय
जय जय
श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय
जय
प्रभुपाद की जय हिज ग्रेस प्रभु जी की जय
जय कृष्ण
वी आर वेरी ग्रेटफुल फॉर योर एसोसिएशन थैंक यू सो मच हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू प्रभु
हरे कृष्ण धन्यवाद प्रणाम हरे कृष्ण
वेरी नाइस क्लास प्रभु हरे कृष्ण